content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from Catster.com titled, Do Cats Get Lonely or Are They Fine Without Other Cats? By Kelly B. Gormley. There's a misconception that cats are curmudgeons who don't make friends with other cats. So do cats get lonely? And do cats need other cats for company? It comes down to a few different factors like personality and age. Tigers live as solitary hunters in jungles. Lions live in pride glass and grasslands. But what about our domestic cats? Are they loners like tigers or social like lions? Yes and yes and no and no. Depending on the cat and the situation, experts say. We talked to some of those pros to try to answer the age-old question. Do cats get lonely? And do cats need other cats? Do cats get lonely or are they happier in single cat households? The first step in answering do cats get lonely is knowing that domestic cats are solitary when it comes to hunting and eating. Dogs may have a reputation for being more social, but that is only because they hunt in packs. Not so with cats, who don't like eating too close to each other. Many parents in multi-cat households put their kitties' food bowls next to each other, but this is a mistake, says Marilyn Krieger, a certified cat behavior consultant in the San Francisco Bay Area. Cats have to eat, so they will, but they're not very happy. It's a little stressful, says Kriegler, who is also known as the cat coach. Outside of mealtime, though, most cats have social needs. While some cats hate their own kind and must be the household's only pet, feral cats form colonies, and many pet cats befriend each other. They have several complex social and cooperative behaviors, such as caring for each other's young, says Leticia M.S. Dantas, who has a doctorate of veterinary medicine, a master's of science, and a Ph.D., a faculty member at the Athens-based University of Georgia Veterinary Teaching Hospital's Behavioral Medicine Service, and a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, says about feral cats. The confusion comes from the fact that strangers are usually not welcomed. The group is usually formed by a family line, a queen and some of her litter that chose not to leave, not newcomers. And what about pet cats? Do cats get lonely when they're only the cat in the household? Domestic cats are a social species, Dr. Dantas says. Yes, you can have cats that are buddies because they really like each other and not because they have to be, Krieger says. Still, cats are able to survive as solo creatures, Krieger says, even if that isn't their preference, and adult kitties have a territorial nature. The answer to do cats get lonely is likely yes, if they're kittens. That territorial nature doesn't typically kick in until adulthood. Kittens crave playmates, and they especially bond with their litter mates. But even if you adopt kittens from separate litters, they will likely become instant besties. For most kittens, the way they learn social skills is by interacting and playing with each other, Krieger says. Most kittens do quite well together. Still, though kittens tend to be more socially flexible, just with any species, some individuals are born not being comfortable around strangers, Dantas cautions. Matching your cat to a second cat. Do you have a cat-hating cat who must be by herself, a situation that might result from a kitty that got separated from her litter mates at an early age, or a lonely cat who wants a buddy? It may be difficult to tell as your cat might be clingy and needy with her human, but not necessarily do well with another cat around her, Krieger says. It helps to know the history of both cats, the resident and the potential newcomer, if you want to predict whether the two will get along. Having grown up with others is not a recipe for success, since cats are individuals and some of them simply do not get along, Dantas says. Cats who are playful with other cats were socialized to other cats as kittens, and throughout their lives and do not have clinical signs of fear or anxiety have more chance of success. When choosing a feline companion for your cat, look for one that is in similar age and therefore has a similar energy level. If you have an older cat, a kitten will torment and pester him with manic energy. The kitten's job is to be playful and explore the world and attack things, Krieger says. The older cat's job is to take a nap. If you have an older cat and want to adopt a kitten, get two kittens so that they can play with each other and let their older uncle relax in peace. Otherwise, look for an older best friend for your adult cat. Introducing cats. The next question you'll have when asking, do cats get lonely, is how do I introduce two cats? Cats do form very close bonds with each other, Krieger explains. Even adult cats can become close companions if they are introduced correctly. Introduce cats correctly by keeping them separate at first, dentist says. This lets them get used to each other's sounds and smells and gives their brains time to hopefully decrease the neuroendocrine stress response. Each cat needs her own food dish and litter area, and positive experiences should come with introductions, like treats. Getting a new companion for a grieving cat. Do cats get lonely after their longtime feline companion passes on? When a cat dies, the loss leaves a void in both your life and your remaining cat's life. The question is how soon cat parents and their resident kitty should seek new companionship. Dantas and Krieger recommend giving your cat and yourself time to grieve and stabilize. This may take a month or several months. Cats form bonds, but they only crave the company of the cats they are bonded with, Dantas says. A bond cannot be transferred from one individual to another. Krieger also discourages bringing in another cat right away. Even though your bereaved cat is lonely, this is stressful for your pet, as the new cat is an alien. They know this cat is not their buddy, she says. They smell different, they look different, and everything about them is different. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, How Do Cats Show Affection? 7 Cat Affection Signs, by Marilyn Krieger. How do cats show affection? Let's examine some forms of cat affection using body language, postures, and vocalizations right here. How do cats show affection? Cat kisses, grooming, tail fluffs, chirps, and mews. These are a few of the sweet ways that cats show affection to the people they feel close to. Because some signs of cat affection are subtle, they are often misinterpreted and sometimes overlooked. So how do cats show affection? Typically, kitties do not demonstrate their warm feelings toward people in loud, boisterous ways. They don't wag their tails or shower their loved ones with sloppy kisses like some dogs do. Instead, cats whisper their affections. Here are some signs of cat affection that every cat parent should know. Number 1. Cats show affection through their eyes. How do cats show affection with their eyes? It's a pretty good indicator that your cat trusts and enjoys your company when she looks at you with half-closed eyes while slowly blinking. These special eye blinks are called cat kisses and are reciprocal. You can tell your cat you love her too by giving her cat kisses. This sign of cat affection conveys relaxation, contentment, affection, and trust. They help build and strengthen your relationship with her. She may respond with more slow blinks. Number 2, cats show affection through their tails. How do cats show affection through their tails? Tails are emotional barometers, accurately conveying emotions through how they are held and positioned and through degrees of fur puffiness. When combined with body language and other indicators, they communicate a gamut of emotions from fear and aggression to affection and happiness. Whereas most people readily recognize signs of fear and aggression, they are not as aware the tails are indicators of cat affection, too. Cats often show their emotional attachments through tail placements. Connection is demonstrated by twining tails around the legs and arms of their favorite buddies. Sometimes cats express warm feelings as they relax next to their people while physically touching or resting their tails on them. Although I try not to anthropomorphize, the sweet behavior reminds me of holding hands with a best friend. In addition to tail wrapping and touching, kitties express happiness and warm feelings by fluffing out the base of their tails while subtly quivering them. Simultaneously, they hold their tails upright with a sly curve at the top. This behavior is sometimes called the happy tail dance. Usually it is accompanied by an endearing kitty love blink. Number 3. Cats show affection through cheek rubs. How do cats show affection when they rub their cheeks on you? One friendly way cats greet those they trust and feel safe with is by rubbing their cheeks on them. Cheek rubs are a sign of cat affection that are also invitations for socializing. Kitties have scent glands on their cheeks that produce pheromones. In addition to showing their favorite people trust and affection, felines mark ownership through the behavior and mingle their scents with those they are attached to. With cats you don't know, you can encourage socialization by extending your index finger toward the cat and about her nose level. It doesn't matter whether she's a few feet away or across the street. If she wants to say hello, she'll approach your finger and touch it with her nose and then turn her head until your finger is on her cheek. If she trusts you, she will rub your hand with her cheek, indicating that she's open to socializing. This may be a beginning of a beautiful friendship. Number 4. Cats show affection through headbunting. How do cats show their affection through headbutts or headbunting? This is a sign of cat affection that marks you and mingles her scent with yours. This is a social cat affection behavior that does double duty. In addition to showing trust and friendship, headbunting proclaims ownership. Scent that is produced from glands located on your kitty's head is transferred to you when she butts you with her head. Number 5, cats show affection through language. How do cats show affection with cat sounds? Chirs, chirps, purrs, trills, and mews often communicate endearments and trust. Although mom cats communicate reassurance to their kittens through chirs and chortles, these sweet sounds of cat affection are often reserved for special people whom cats feel close to. Endearing emotions are also expressed through other vocalizations, such as special meows and mews. Some are soft and kitten-like, while others are louder. Purring can also indicate that your kitty is feeling secure, safe, and reassured around you. Her purrs may show affection, especially when she accompanies them with kitty kisses and other expressive cat affection signals, such as touching you with a paw or tail. Number 6, cats show affection through grooming. How do cats show affection through grooming? Cats who feel connected and close to each other well mutually groom, allo-grooming. The behavior helps them relax, shows trust, and builds a community scent, important for recognizing family members and buddies. People are not exempt from the sign of cat infection. Affection. Grooming isn't reserved for just those of the same species. Cats will sometimes lick their human friends, displaying affection while mingling scents. And finally, number 7, cats show affection by hanging out on and around you. How do cats show affection when they follow you? Felines like being around those they feel an affinity for. Your special kitty might be relaxing near you or napping on your lap. She might position herself so that she touches you. Her back may be against your leg, or she reaches out and pats you with a paw. Even if your cat isn't a lap cat, she may still demonstrate she feels connected to you by hanging out nearby. Some kitties follow their people around the house. Food isn't part of the equation. They trail their humans because they like being with them. Some tag along, following those they feel connected to from room to room. The bottom line on cat affection and cat communication. Cats are very good communicators, using a combination of body language, postures, and vocalizations to express their feelings. Although cat affection is subtle and at times complex, they have a variety of ways of showing affection and trust to people that they are attached to. Now we'll move on to the February-March issue of Dogster Magazine, and we'll start with an article titled Laws for Paws Should Give You Pause by Elizabeth Anderson Lopez. Being a good pet parent includes knowing the legal issues that apply to dogs in your area. Could Law and Order dog owners be the next spinoff? Probably not, but there are actually quite a few dog-related laws on the books that pet parents should be aware of. Because, of course, if your dog breaks the law, you are responsible. As it turns out, there are a lot of those laws. Many dog owners, especially those in big cities, are surprised at the number of dog laws that exist at the local level, says Rebecca Wish, associate editor and clinical staff attorney with the Animal Legal and Historical Center, part of the Michigan State University College of Law in East Lansing, Michigan. In fact, owners who move to a new town without first researching local codes may find their breed of dog is not allowed, or that there is a pet number restriction in the code. Common laws to know. As with many things in life, some dog-related regulations are pretty obvious and easy to follow. There are basic laws, such as license requirements and rabies vaccination requirements, that exist in most jurisdictions, says Tony Ellisusen, senior staff attorney with the Animal Legal Defense Fund in Cotati, California. In many cities, there are leash laws and laws requiring you to pick up after your pet. Those are the laws that will have the broadest day-to-day impact on dog owners. The nuisance-type issues like barking or defecating on others' property are also concerns because they affect quality of life for everyone, Rebecca adds. If you are the dog owner whose dog is engaging in those behaviors, you may find yourself on your neighbor's bad side as well as out of money if cited under a local law. But much more serious incidents can occur. Dog bites and dangerous dog liability are probably the main legal concerns with dog ownership, Rebecca says. About 36 states have some form of strict liability laws. This means that a dog owner is liable for damages regardless of whether the owner knew the dog had vicious propensities. And just as not knowing a dog's demeanor is not a defense, not inviting someone onto your property may not be one either. While liability is more likely for invited guests, there could be liability even for injuries to uninvited guests or intruders depending on the circumstances, Tony says. Who gets to decide if your dog is dangerous? Most dangerous dog enforcement actions will occur at the county level, Rebecca says. It varies from state to state, county to county, on which court has jurisdictions for those hearings. For a list of state-specific dangerous dog codes, visit animallaw.info/topic/state-dangerous-dog-laws. But don't stop there. Most dog laws that affect you are at the local level. Contact your city and county, including any HOA laws, for specifics in your area. Pets as property. Many of us consider pets as family members, so it can be distressing to think of dogs, as the law does, personal property. So what happens when a lost dog is found by someone else? It's not finders keepers. A dog remains the personal property of his or her original owner unless the owner gives it away or sells it. Rebecca explains, so when a person finds a lost dog, he or she cannot just keep the dog hoping that time alone will grant ownership. If the finders of the lost dog do not relinquish possession of the dog, the original owner can take the finders to court, usually small claims, to recover possession of the animal. Not surprisingly, there are exceptions. As with any property, generally a person is entitled to the return of lost property, but that presumption may not hold if the prior owner is negligent, is deemed to have abandoned the property, or otherwise failed to take any affirmative steps to try to locate the lost dog. Tony says, adding there may be jurisdictional variables as well. This makes microchipping your dog even more critical. A collar and ID tag can always be removed, but a microchip can be a powerful proof in court. What about pets as furry kids? While the term pet parent and pet guardian are used in some parts of the country, they may not have actual legal standing. However, two states have addressed dogs when it comes to divorce and custody. Only Alaska and Illinois currently have statutes that specifically require judges to consider the best interests of companion animals that are marital property as part of the divorce proceedings, Tony says. But many other states give broad discretion to judges regarding such issues, and we believe that includes the power to consider the best interests of the companion animal. Breed-specific laws. As president and CEO of Pinups for Pitbulls, Deidre Franklin works with one of the most maligned breeds in the country. She points out, breed-specific rules don't work to keep the public safe. All dogs have teeth and the propensity to bite and cause damage. That doesn't stop many areas from discriminating against pit bulls or other breeds, so owners of those breeds must be extra vigilant. It's important for owners to be aware of their local and state laws for dog ownership, says Deirdre, who is based in Weaverville, North Carolina, and also co-wrote The Pit Bull Life, A Dog Lover's Companion. For example, dogs that are viewed as pit bull dog types in Denver, Colorado, can be picked up and euthanized regardless of their temperament. However, that same dog in Pennsylvania is free to be a dog. Renters have not found every apartment that allows dogs actually allows all dogs. My Pit Bull is Family has a dedicated website to help you find a rental that is breed neutral, Deidre says. Keep in mind that the burden is on you, the dog parent, to find a place to live that accepts your pet. Too many dogs wind up in rescues because pet parents didn't research rental policies or thought they could hide their dog from a landlord. And being a homeowner doesn't mean you're home free. Some insurance companies will not insure your rental property or home if you have one of the maligned breeds in your home, Deidre says. It's important to do your research on this topic. We have a great many resources at our website, including a PDF on which insurance companies do not discriminate based on breed type. With so many people thinking pit bull type dogs are mean, make sure you aren't the one with a bad attitude. It's imperative to not have a chip on your shoulder about prejudices you may face having one of those dogs, Deirdre says. We all know that pit bull type dogs are wonderful dogs, and it's up to us to lead by example so that others can discover that for themselves. Legal help. Deirdre recommends hiring a lawyer familiar with animal law if you need legal help regarding a breed ban or for any legal issue regarding a pet. But first, find out if the incident is covered by your homeowner's, renter's, or other liability insurance. If so, it may be that the insurance company has the right to appoint an attorney for the claim or can provide assistance in locating an attorney, Tony says. Also consider the financial implications of hiring a lawyer. The hourly rate the attorney charges to fight the claim could easily exceed the cost of simply settling the claim early on in many cases, he adds. If these seem like a headache, keep in mind that for every law that might annoy pet parents, there is one that protects dogs. Every state now has a law that allows pet owners to establish pet trusts to care for their animals after they die, Rebecca says. Every state now makes dog fighting a felony. Cities and states are enacting laws that curtail the supply of dogs bred by puppy mills. Even dogs used in biomedical research facilities are getting greater protection against through beagle freedom laws. All of the changes may be incremental in terms of greater legal protection, but they are certainly significant. And laws that protect both dogs and humans are good for everyone. Maybe we'll see that spin-off yet. So we'll move on to a little subsection of this article. It's illegal to what? There are many dog-related laws in the books that range from slightly strange to highly specific. Here are a few. In Glendale, California, no person owning or having charge, care, custody, or control of any dog shall cause it or allow it to go or be taken into an elevator in any office building, retail store, or public building, service dogs exempt. In Connecticut, any person owning any dog which habitually goes out or any highway and growls, bites, or snaps at, or otherwise annoys any person or domestic animal lawfully using such highway or chases. Any motor vehicle so using such highway should be guilty of a Class D misdemeanor. Massachusetts. No person shall engage in the business of leasing or renting a dog. In Delaware, whoever allows such dog to be upon the designated swimming or sunbathing area of a state coastal beach strand at any time between May 1st and September 30th is guilty of a violation and shall be fined not less than $25 nor more than $50. North Carolina, if any person owing or having any bitch so knowingly permit her to run at large during the erotic stage of copulation, he shall be guilty of a Class 3 misdemeanor. And finally, West Virginia. It is unlawful for any person to unknowingly allow a dog owned by him or under his control to defecate upon the grounds of the Capitol buildings or governor's mansion. Now we'll read about some obsessions of the Dogster staff. We'll start with one titled Pup on a Path by Annie. The New York Rangers have a new teammate, a yellow Labrador Retriever puppy named Ranger. The Rangers have partnered with Blue Path, a nonprofit that provides autism service dogs who offer companionship, safety, and more independence to families with children with autism. This little hockey pup accompanies puppy raiser Saxon Eastman to Madison Square Garden every day and is a regular fixture at practices and games, which gives him lots of socialization experience and opportunities to practice his service dog skills. Ranger is adored by his teammates, fans, and of course, Saxon. It's impossible to look at Ranger and not smile, she says. First of all, he's very cute, but when you think about what his future holds, there's certainly a strong element of inspiration. As his puppy raiser, one of the many things I love about having the New York Rangers involved in Ranger's journey is the shared value of community. Both Blue Path and Rangerstown are strong, close-knit communities that come together to work toward a shared goal. And to combine the two is very inspiring. There's a common misconception that service dogs never get to be normal dogs. But when service dogs are off-duty, they can play to their heart's content. Ranger is no different. Fittingly, his favorite toy is a puck, and he loves chasing it around, especially with his puppy friends. Ranger loves to play fetch, and he's good at it, Saxon says. He's also rather mellow for his age, so he definitely enjoys a good nap, too. Like most labs, Ranger is laid back and friendly and always welcomes snuggles and belly rubs. He's a very loving, silly, but gentle boy, and I think his future career will be the perfect fit for his personality. You can follow Ranger's adventures at bluepathservicedogs.org, on Facebook at Blue Path Service Dogs, and on Instagram at Blue Path Dogs. Move on to another story about UPS Hearts Dogs by Melissa. My dogs alert me when the UPS truck comes and I go outside on the porch to personally get my package. I chat with my UPS drivers and always apologize for the ruckus my dogs make, but the UPS drivers like my dogs. So it wasn't a surprise to me that here that UPS driver Gina Cribshaw knows her customers along her route in Central Texas pretty well. And that includes her furry customers like Bandit, Boo, Danny, Huey, Nixon, Pixie, Bo, Mocha, and many others. According to UPS, she receives texts 2 to 3 times a week asking about a dog someone has come across around the neighborhood. No worries, Gina knows where they live. She's even volunteered to take care of customers' dogs when they travel. I love people and I love pets, Gina says. If I'm going to work a 9, 10, 11-hour day, I'm going to have some fun with them. And if my choice is taking an extra second to talk to my customer or to give a dog a bone and know his name, to me that's a little more personal than just putting a package on someone's porch. And if you want to see some more UPS and dog friendships, check out the unofficial Facebook page at UPS Dogs, where UPS drivers celebrate their doggy customers. So next time you see your UPS driver, chat for a bit and maybe even take a pic with your dog. Annie also has an article about Pets for the Elderly Foundation. Everyone needs love and companionship, and that's why the late Avram Katz founded Pets for the Elderly Foundation in 1992. His vision was to provide companionship to senior citizens through pet ownership while saving the lives of companion animals in shelters. PFE is currently the only national organization matching shelter animals with senior citizens. This nonprofit organization hit a milestone this year, reaching more than 80,000 national pet and senior matches since the organization went national in 2002. PFE pays a portion of the fees to participating shelters throughout the U.S. for senior citizens, age 60 and over, who adopt a dog or cat from a participating shelter, including pre-adoption veterinary exams and spay and neuter, if those are part of the adoption fee. So far, there are 56 participating shelters in 35 states, with the hopes of expanding having a shelter in every state in 2019. Patricia Smith recently adopted her puppy, Brandy, with PFE's help. A widowed, retired middle school teacher, she was looking for a new canine companion after her dog, Chloe, passed away. She wasn't really considering a puppy, but when she saw Brady at the shelter, she couldn't resist, and she brought him home that day. She says that Brady is a little loving guy who follows her everywhere. When she took him to a puppy socialization class offered by the Humane Society, he ended up being the star of the class. Patricia is looking forward to many rewarding years with her new buddy. She points out that he's full of energy, so he'll definitely keep her young. For more information, visit petsfortheelderly.org. Then a couple notes from Health Talk by Jackie Brown. Separation anxiety study shows petting is beneficial. A study published in the Journal of Veterinary Behavior investigated the effects of gentle petting on dogs' response to separation. The study dogs' behavior, heart rate, and salivary cortisol levels were monitored before and after the owner's departure in two different scenarios. In the first, owners gently petted their dogs for 1 minute before leaving them with a researcher and walking out of sight for 3 minutes. In the second scenario, owners ignored the dogs for 1 minute prior to departure. Although none of the study dogs were highly stressed in either scenario, after gentle petting, they were calmer during their owner's absence with lower heart rates afterward. And finally, researchers 3D print new skull for dog with cancer. A 9-year-old dachshund named Patches with a large multiobular osteochondrosarcoma tumor growing into her skull was recently saved thanks to a custom 3D printed skull plate that was used to replace about 70% of the dog's cancer-ridden skull. In a joint effort, researchers and veterinary surgeons at University of Guelph's Ontario Veterinary College and Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine created the replacement skull, then removed the diseased portion of the dog's skull and replaced it with the 3D printed plate. Patches came through surgery with flying colors. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.